Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
The podcast Campus Files is back with more stories of scandal, crime, and intrigue on college campuses.
It is not hard to destroy a college.
It's almost like a university under siege.
Listen to and follow Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
It is another Saturday morning at CCULN when we talk problems with your car, your truck, your van, and maybe we can get to the bottom of this. So before you bring it into your favorite dealer or your favorite shop, you can find out what could be ailing. Thanks to ASE certified technician Nick Stoffel, who is with Lloyd's Automotive on Grand Avenue in St. Paul. Nick, good morning to you.
Good morning, Denny.
It was good to see you and the whole crew this past week. Well, I say it was good to see you guys. It wasn't so good when I found out that there were some issues thanks to a critter who had invaded my engine compartment, something you and your guys have seen there more often than not. And boy, can mice do some damage.
You know, unfortunately and absolutely, you know, this time of the year, actually it's because it's milder and there's no snow, they seem to be having more time to find a warm place to call home. And oftentimes it's under the hood of our vehicles because there's heat there. It's a heat source. So, you know, it's not a bad idea every so often maybe open the hood, you know, make sure that you don't see any debris or anything out of place, or, you know, maybe don't keep the dog food and some of those other things in the garage or your car's parked to attract them. And, you know, we have to do the best we can, but to pay attention and try to prevent that would be very helpful, as you know.
Well, I tell you, and you have some great technicians there at Lloyd's, and it took a while. It's not like sometimes these mice are kind enough to be obvious about it. They have to be hidden in this tiniest of places where you can't really see it unless you have some kind of a searchlight or something, because there's not a whole lot of room to work in these engine bays, and it's like. Thanks to your guys there, they did find the issue because I had trouble. I guess I had a light that was on, that was a traction light that stayed on. I thought, I've never seen that before. So after looking through it and all of this, looking at schematics and everything else, your guys did locate this nest down there. Now, what can you really do about that? Some people swear by dryer sheets. I've read, no, that doesn't really work. Mouse magic. I can't imagine you can put stuff in engines without the worry about something catching fire, right?
Well, you know, there's a balance with everything. There's no sure proof. I mean, you know, balance. I've heard the same with dryer sheets. I've heard the same with mouse magic. You know, some folks don't want to use leaving any of the poison in the garage, as I understand that too. So there's a balance there. You got to try something, you know, keeping the garage clean, you know, get the doorways clear. So you have any evidence of heavy mice, you know, you need to be a little more serious about it. I know you do that. And even with you doing everything that you already do, you still end up in this situation. So it's not always that easy, but every little bit you can try will help some.
I think you're right. At the top of this discussion was the mild weather has been going on, and it's still going on. And we're going to talk about that in next hour in the Garden Show. But if you have any kind of a car, truck, van problem, and you'd like to know what's going on, why don't you call or text Nick? Either way, calling or texting, just one number will get you that. 651-461-9226. And again, we urge you to do that right away because our time flies so quickly. Nick will be with us for about another 30 minutes. So I urge you, any kind of a car question, you don't have to be a motorhead. You can call as long as you drive and you have problems with your vehicle. Call or text 651-461-9226. Like we always like to do, if we miss some questions from last week's show, Nick, we'd like to bring it forward and see if we can't get some answers. Let's look back at last week's show. Here's one that says, I have a 2013 F-150, and the key control to unlock the door is not good, won't work. But it has a number code on the door, which I've been using all of the, and all of a sudden, it only opens one door, which is the passenger door. Do you have to take the panel off the door to see what's going on? Do you have any ideas about this problem?
You know, door locks are always a funny thing. I suspect the door panel likely will come off. But before we do that, you can also, there's an accordion section in the door jamb where the wiring will come through. We have seen over the years where sometimes from open and closing, typically the driver's door because it gets used the most, that the wires might get frayed or break in that loom there, open and closing. Typically the driver's door because it gets used the most, that the wires might get frayed or break in that loom there, and they often need to be soldered back together. So there's, you know, could it be the actual lock actuator? Absolutely. It could be a switch. It could be the wiring. There's a lot of pieces that play a role here, and sometimes it's confusing because if one door is working, not the other, you're assuming it's that door, but if it's wiring, it can be just the opposite. So I would get that looked at, because the last thing we want is no doors unlocking, and now we're stuck having to have the vehicle towed, having a locksmith get into the vehicle, then we proceed with the repair. So this is probably one of those items where you want to, you know, maybe shortly after the holidays here, get an appointment, get that looked at.
We're getting comments besides questions here on the show this morning via text. Says, Denny, use pure peppermint oil. You can sprinkle it anywhere on the engine. Talking about keeping mice away. I've heard that works in some cases, and I think it's a cheaper method, too. Texter says, Nick, bought a pair of Rain-X wiper blades for our 2018 Sierra crew cab. Put on the driver's side just fine. Passenger side, not so much. Can one arm be different than the other? Have you seen this on the 2018 GMCs? I'm used to the large hook style, not this type. This is the first time I've needed to change from the original wipers. Any information would be greatly appreciated. It's definitely frustrating. Oh, I can relate to that. It can be in
I
some
think
cars.
We all can. We all can. We wonder ourselves, like, why can't there be a standardized hook or clip or whatever it may be and just have different lengths? But, yeah, no, wiper blades are one of those things where I think at Lloyd's we probably have, I don't know, 30 or 40 different wiper blades, and we still don't have all the coverage. So don't be discouraged with yourself. Read the package. Sometimes, you know, they can be frustrating, but please be careful. Keep in mind, if you have that wiper blade off and that metal rod is exposed and the wiper arm is up and it were to come down and hit the glass, it will likely crack your windshield. So keep that first and foremost. Make sure you're very careful there. You don't want to create a bigger problem for yourself. But, no, I would, if you do it yourselfer, you want wiper blades, the best advice is go back to the manufacturer and get the ones exactly that came off the vehicle. The aftermarket ones most often will work, but sometimes there might be an adapter or clip that make it somewhat confusing and complex. So if you want to do them yourself, stop by your local dealership, get a couple of the original equipment wipers that should fit properly and easily.
I guess you're always better off with the OEM stuff. And some of these blades, wiper blades, can be pretty costly too, can't they?
Oh, absolutely. Those beam blades, which most vehicles are equipped now, are very nice. They last a long time. You don't get, you know, if you remember from years past, you get all that snow and that ice kind of caught in the skeleton of those old frame blades.
Yeah.
We don't have that anymore. So that makes it much more helpful to keep the windshield clean and icing up, but they are expensive. So there's a trade-off, but I think they're probably worth it. They last longer and they work better.
Very good. Nick, we're going to take a quick break. Again, inviting our listeners to join in. If you have any kind of a car care question, we'd love to hear from you, either by phone or by text, 651-461-9226. Right now in the Twin Cities, this is December 23rd, keep in mind. We have 41 degrees. We're going to be almost at 50 today. We could be at 55 tomorrow, and for Christmas Day itself, we could get up to near 45 with rain. Right now, fog, dense fog in some cases, CCO temp 41. And on this December 23rd morning, 41 degrees in the Twin Cities, a lot of fog out there. We're in the midst of our car care show. Denny Long here, along with ASC certified technician Nick Stauffel, who runs a place called Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul. Nick, for those that maybe some need some help, how do we find you guys like I have so often at the Lloyd's Automotive? Where are you?
As you know very well, we're at the corner of Grand and Chanceworth in St. Paul. That's 982 Grand. And if you ever need advice, got a question, feel free to give us a call, 651-1316. And if you don't mind, check out our website at lloydsautomotive.net.
Yeah, 651-228-1316. We'll get you that info when Nick leaves us, just before he leaves us, which is close to 7:45 this morning. You can call us, you can text us with any kind of a car care question you have in mind, 651-461-9226. Texter says this morning, Nick: I recently purchased a four-wheel drive 2020 GMC Sierra 1500 SLT from a local dealer. A few days later, I discovered one tire had a non-repairable leak. To his credit, sales manager agreed the dealership was responsible, replaced two tires, but they were unable to get the same brand. Texter says, I now have two nearly new matching tires that came with the truck in front, two new matching tires of a different brand in back. The dealer claims this should not cause a problem for the drivetrain, since the tread wear in all tires is nearly identical, and the two brands are also nearly identical in their ratings. Is the dealer correct? If so, how should I rotate these tires going forward? Interesting question.
I think it'll be fine. It happens from time to time. We'll have somebody that's maybe not a regular customer, or maybe the availability of that same tire is not there. So we, too, will do our very best to, first off, match the specifications, tread design, try to do the best we can to make it as close as possible. If the tread depths are the same, the height of the tires is the same, it shouldn't have any bearing on your drivetrain. And as far as the rotation goes, I would follow kind of our process or procedure is, how are the tires wearing? If they're wearing smoothly, maybe you can go front to rear. If you get any uneven wear, maybe we crisscross them. It really depends how they wear over time. So I think you don't need to worry too much about it. Be aware of it, but I think to go on with a normal life of a tire will be just fine.
All right, good news, good news. Another texter: Merry Christmas, guys. I love the program. Thank you, and Merry Christmas to you. Texter says, I have a 2005 Acura. This vehicle uses 92-octane fuel, but yesterday I went to fill up the tank and had a quarter tank of fuel left and accidentally put in 87-octane fuel by mistake. You think this will hurt my vehicle, and should I add an octane boost additive into my gas tank? What do you think? Shouldn't hurt this one tank, right? What do you think?
No, I agree. And we get these questions often, especially when fuel prices are higher. You'll find if the vehicle operates normally, like it has, you can probably scale back on that octane rating. If you're having issues where there's pinging, which is kind of like a detonation or a difference of acceleration, or it just over a fuel that's different, you probably need to go back up to that higher octane as you've been using. And like I said, they make the recommendation based on the math that they do there. And there's a reason for it, but sometimes you'll find that maybe a little less will work also. So for this tank, don't worry about it. You'll be fine. And you can go back to your regular routine if you like.
All right. Very good. Listener said this: I have a 2013 Chevy Malibu Eco. Lately, it's been stalling when I stop or slow down. What do you think most likely is a problem or problems with that? Well, that's a toughie.
Well, the first thing we would do is connect like a scan tool, you know, see if there's any fault codes that are stored. If there's no fault codes, you'd like to drive the vehicle, watching they're recording that data. Because what happens is you're coming to a stop, and obviously, you know, we're worried about our settings and our surroundings. The vehicle stalls, we don't necessarily see what had happened. With the scan tool, we can record the data from the computer, and we can find out if there's a sensor that was given out or if a reading got skewed for some reason that made the vehicle actually stall, whether it's fuel or air or something with the spark. So usually those situations, we get codes first or look for codes or pending codes. Other than that, we'll take some data and then kind of go through and figure out what looks out of sorts, and then maybe go to that part of the engine or that component and do some testing. So it probably isn't too difficult to figure out cost. Really have no idea until we know what's wrong.
Listener has a plug. We were talking about blades on vehicles, and this listener says the Rain-X blades are far superior to the OEM blades. All right. Well, thank you for that opinion. Is it? There's another one now. Is it okay to keep my 2019 Wrangler in four-wheel high when driving in town? How about the interstate?
You know, all-wheel drive vehicles, which quite honestly most SUVs are in some capacity in four-wheel drive, not locked in four-wheel drive. You know, my truck is a little bit older and it still has, you know, two high, four low. I usually only put it into four highs if I need it. You know, if I'm plowing snow or if the conditions are bad where it helps me keep the truck on the road, absolutely. But for days like today or everyday driving, I don't think it's necessary. And it probably uses a little more fuel. So I don't think there's any reason to do it unless you feel that the conditions require it.
There's something I remember asking you about, and Dan too, about checking. If you have one of these vehicles that you do have a selector switch, not a gear handle, but a selector switch for a four-wheel high, four-wheel low, normal, whatever, and I just leave it, you know, like in an auto situation, shouldn't I be exercising that once in a while to try different ranges? Isn't that something good to do?
Well, you know, my opinion is, you know, it kind of goes along with door locks that we've covered in the past. To keep everything within the vehicle functioning at some capacity, you know, when it's in auto, that motor that kind of controls the transfer case is actuating to some extent. But if it doesn't have the full sweep or you're not moving it through all the different settings, it's not fully using that unit, just like, you know, like a reference door locks. You know, every so often, if you still have a door lock in that driver's door, you have a blade inside your fob, you should exercise that fob or that door lock just to make sure if there's ever a situation where you can't get into your vehicle, you can still unlock the door with a good old-fashioned key. So my opinion is, especially with our climate and, you know, the salt and the snow and all everything that comes out of the sky, that if we keep all these things operating or we use them, they'll be there when we need them.
Yeah, good idea. I have to do that. All right, Nick, hang on. We're going to have a look at that warm forecast this holiday weekend, and we'll have a look at this coming week as well. We still have time for your car care question. Call us or text us, 651-461-9226. From News Talk 830, this is And a good Saturday morning to you. Welcome back to our car care show. We are here every Saturday in the 7 o'clock hour. Thanks to Nick Stoffel, ASE certified technician at Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul, answering those car care questions for you this holiday weekend. And we have a bunch yet, Nick, and I know we have to take your leave here in a few minutes, but let's see how many folks we can help out here. Listener says this, my daughter has a 2007 Buick LaCrosse. Sometimes when using the key fob, it unlocks and locks every door except the driver's door. Is there anything I can do to fix it?
This kind of goes hand in hand with that texture earlier that, you know, it's sometimes a mystery when you're hitting the fob or hitting the switch inside the vehicle where ones will work, others will not. You know, as I mentioned before, could there be something with some wiring? Very possible. In this case, I think it's probably the actual door lock actuator. There's a little solenoid in there that when you hit the button, it pops the lock up. And when you hit the close, it obviously does the same. It locks it and goes down. So you probably need to have somebody with the tooling to get the door panel off, get the meter on that actuator to see what is happening, and then kind of go from there.
Yeah, I would need help, too, for sure. We got some callers coming in, too, this morning, Nick. Robert is first up. You're calling from St. Paul this morning. Robert, what is your question for Nick?
Well, first of all, I'd like to wish you good morning. Happy holidays to you and yours. Thanks for the opportunity. I got an 09 Subaru that's overheating. I've taken it to one of the franchise shops to have it diagnosed. They said it needed a radiator. I actually took it to a Subaru dealer for a second opinion. They couldn't get it to overheat, but suggested I replace the radiator. I took the opportunity to go ahead and replace that myself. It's still overheating. Any ideas, any thoughts?
But I'd be curious to know, like, the condition of the coolant. If we're doing a radiator from overheating, most often we like to do a thermostat. You know, that wax pellet has a bit of a life expectancy, and an overheating can be hard on it. So if you're handy enough to do the radiator, I might suggest you do the thermostat. Not saying that's a problem yet. I mentioned the condition of the coolant. I want to make sure we don't have any kind of cylinder head gasket problem, which can happen from time to time on that particular vehicle. So I would maybe pause, do some diligence here. Let's check the condition of the coolant. Let's determine if we're getting any exhaust in the antifreeze, which would mean that the cylinder head gaskets have failed, allowing the exhaust into them or into the coolant, which can create an overheating situation. If we think that that's fine, I think my next step would be looking at that thermostat, checking the temperatures with the thermometer in and out of it, see if it's actually doing its job. If that thermostat is stuck shut and not opening as it should, it could overheat that vehicle. So, you know, the radiator may have been needed for sure, but I think I would slow down a little bit here and try to do a few more steps before I kept putting parts in the vehicle.
All right. Some ideas there, Robert. Good luck with that. Thanks for the call and the wishes, and back at you. Jerry calling in this morning from New Prague, Minnesota, I do believe. Jerry, thank you. What is your question?
I have a 2022 Buick Envision, and I was wiping the inside of it out, and now after I drive it, it seems to idle real fast, and I don't even have to put my foot on the gas, and it goes by itself. I don't know if I hit a button inside that, you know, it has all the levers in there. If I hit a button or whatever.
Well, there shouldn't be any kind of button that would affect a throttle like that, but I'd be very careful. Usually, if the car is going to accelerate on its own, you know, you might want to just bring it straight to the shop, have it looked at. We don't want to run a risk of not being able to stop. But I can't give you a good reason. This might seem silly, but here's one small tip, because I've seen this many times over the years. Check the floor mats. Make sure that driver's floor mat didn't slide up and get partially on the throttle. Because if the floor mat is on the throttle, it might be giving it a little bit of acceleration when you're not asking for it. So that would be the do-it-yourselfer step that you can try. Otherwise, I think you need to take it in to have someone take a look at that as soon as you can.
Okay, very good. Texter says this, Lloyds, thanks for fixing my ABS modulator in my 2014 Honda Accord. It was expensive, but I had to have it fixed, and since have written to Honda Corporation. So a thank you to somebody who was money well spent, evidently. You guys did a good job, evidently, as usual. Good morning. This one says, oh, interesting. I purchased a new snowblower that has been stored indoors for 2 years, never used. Do you think the oil that was installed 2 years ago is still good, or is there a time decay factor, even though the machine has yet to be run?
Me personally, if it's a brand new unit, that little bit of oil isn't very expensive, I would probably swap out the oil. Yeah. I think the bigger question is how you got through last winter without using it. We had gotten so much snow.
Sure.
I would switch out the oil. I mean, it's a quart of oil. It's not very expensive, and it's a new machine. You just don't want any kind of condensation or moisture. You may want to keep that thing running tip-top.
Boy, for sure. And I was just thinking, I hope I'm not jinxing myself, but I change the oil in my snowblower every year, spark plug, maybe more than once with the spark plug. But that cheap maintenance, and now I do use and have been synthetic oil, same viscosity, of course. That snowblower is 26 years old this year. And I hope I'm not jinxing myself, but a little maintenance can go a long way, can it, for cars too, and snowblowers.
Absolutely. You know, I mean, obviously, we always talk about our vehicles, but, you know, those things we have at home, snowblower, lawnmower, you know, every year I like to run it out of fuel, both of them at the end of the season. And you're right, you know, a spark plug is a few dollars. It doesn't take, you know, many tools to change a spark plug on a snowblower or a lawnmower, but a little bit of maintenance, you know, 26 years is probably almost unheard of, you know. But if you take care of your equipment, it's going to take care of you. So I think that's true with pretty much everything in the world.
Absolutely. I'm looking, Nick, before we run out of time, we're almost out this morning, but I'm looking at a text that came in last week, and then we'll be completed with that. This is an 08 Saturn View, 110,000 miles in the transmission, and the torque converter is making the car vibrate. Is it worth fixing? Is it expensive? Torque converter, tell us briefly, what is that?
So the torque converter is the part between the transmission and the engine that allows it to slip. If the transmission and engine were fully engaged, the car would try to keep going, right? So we need to have a little bit of slip. It also helps with the smoothness of shifting. So as the engine RPMs ramp up, the torque converter or the input shaft spins, which gets the torque converter going. Once that hits the right RPM, revolutions per minute, it'll engage. Now, as they start to fail, you can get some of that shuddering going on, some poor shifting, and sometimes it might be even like a lockup scenario where the car could stall. Not likely, but could. So that's something you probably shouldn't avoid, especially, you know, you get on the highway when you need that unit to be, you're going on the off-ramp or the on-ramp and you're accelerating, trying to get up to speed. If you're not able to do that, you get yourself in a bit of a pinch. Unfortunately, it is expensive. You got to remove the transmission to do that. So I would definitely make sure whoever is doing the diagnosis is very thorough and very confident what's wrong with the vehicle.
Yeah, for sure, with that kind of those kind of bucks. Nick, we have to run. I want to wish you and all your family there, certainly, and the crew and their family at Lloyd's Automotive this holiday season. Now, for those that want to get in touch after the holiday, how do we do that if we need your help?
Absolutely. If you ever have a question, need advice, give us a call, 651-228-1316. And if you're ever on Grand Avenue in St. Paul, pop in and say hi. We're at 982 Grand Avenue. And last and finally, if you wouldn't mind checking out our website at lloydsautomotive.net.
Excellent. All right. Thank you, Nick. Merry Christmas to you and your family. And we'll talk 1 week from today when it's going to be almost a whole nother year. Thanks, Nick.
Merry Christmas, Danny.
Yeah, and to you. Nick Stoffel, ASE Certified Tech at Lloyd's Automotive. Jack Farrell's Wine Chat straight ahead here on News Talk 830 WCCO.
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer,
SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait. There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino
and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
The Second World War is the largest event in human history.
A 20-part series with Tom Hanks.
No part of the globe was untouched. No life unchanged.
Experience the ultimate account of World War II.
Every single person had a story. These are the stories that make us who we are.
Listen to World War II with Tom Hanks on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is another Saturday morning in CCO land when we talk problems with your car, your truck, your van, and maybe we can get to the bottom of this. So before you bring it into your favorite dealer or your favorite shop, you can find out what could be ailing. Thanks to ASE Certified Technician Nick Stoffel, who is with Lloyd's Automotive on Grand Avenue in St. Paul. Nick, good morning to you.
Good morning, Denny.
It was good to see you and the whole crew this past week. Well, I say it was good to see you guys. It wasn't so good when I found out that there were some issues thanks to a critter who had invaded my engine compartment. Something you and your guys have seen there more often than not. And boy, can mice do some damage.
You know, unfortunately and absolutely, you know, this time of the year, actually, it's because it's milder and there's no snow, they seem to be having more time to find a warm place to call home. And oftentimes it's under the hood of our vehicles because there's heat there. It's a heat source. So, you know, it's not a bad idea every so often to maybe open the hood, you know, make sure that you don't see any debris or anything out of place, or you know, maybe don't keep the dog food and some of those other things in the garage where your car's parked to attract them. And We have to do the best we can, but to pay attention and try to prevent that would be very helpful, as you know.
Well, I tell you, and you have some great technicians there at Lloyd's, and it took a while. It's not like sometimes these mice are kind enough to be obvious about it. They have to be hidden in this tiniest of places where you can't really see it unless you have some kind of a searchlight or something, because there's not a whole lot of room to work in these engine bays. And it's like, thanks to your guys there, they did find the issue, because I had trouble. I guess I had a light that was on, that was a traction light that stayed on. I thought, I've never seen that before. So after looking through it and all of this, looking at schematics and everything else, your guys did locate this nest down there. Now, what can you really do about that? Some people swear by dryer sheets. I've read, no, that doesn't really work. Mouse magic. I can't imagine you can put stuff in engines without the worry about something catching fire, right?
Well, there's a balance with everything. There's no sure proof. I mean, balance, I've heard the same with dryer sheets. I've heard the same with mouse magic. Some folks don't want to leave any of the poison in their garages. I understand that too. So there's a balance there. You got to try something, keeping, keeping the garage clean, get the doorways clear. So you have any evidence of heavy mites, you need to be a little more serious about it. I know you do that. And even with you doing everything that you already do, you still end up in this situation. So it's not always that easy, but every little bit you can try will help some.
I think you're right. At the top of this discussion was the mild weather has been going on, and it's still going on. And we're going to talk about that in next hour in the Garden Show. But if you have any kind of a car, truck, van problem, and you'd like to know what's going on, why don't you call or text Nick? Either way, calling or texting, just one number will get you that. 651-461-9226. And again, we urge you to do that right away, because our time flies so quickly. Nick will be with us for about another 30 minutes. So I urge you, any kind of a car question, you don't have to be a motorhead. You can call, as long as you drive and you have problems with your vehicle, call or text 651-461-9226. Like we always like to do, if we miss some questions from last week's show, Nick, we'd like to bring it forward and see if we can't get some answers. Let's look back at last week's show. Here's one that says, I have a 2013 F-150, and the key control to unlock the door is not good, won't work, but it has a number code on the door, which I've been using all of a sudden, it only opens one door, which is the passenger door. Do you have to take the panel off the door to see what's going on? Do you have any ideas about this problem?
Door locks are always a funny thing. I suspect the door panel likely will come off. But before we do that, you can also, there's an accordion section in the door jamb where the wiring will come through. We have seen over the years where sometimes from open and closing, typically the driver's door because it gets used the most, that the wires might get frayed or break in that loom there, open and closing. Typically the driver's door, because it gets used the most, that the wires might get frayed or break in that loom there, and they often need to be soldered back together. So there's, could it be the actual lock actuator? Absolutely. It could be a switch. It could be the wiring. There's a lot of pieces that play a role here, and sometimes it's confusing because if one door is working, not the other, you're assume it's that door, but if it's wiring, it can be just the opposite. So I would get that looked at, because the last thing we want is no doors unlocking, and now we're stuck having to have the vehicle towed, having a locksmith get into the vehicle, then we proceed with the repair. So this is probably one of those items where you want to, maybe shortly after the holidays here, get an appointment, get that looked at.
We're getting comments besides questions here on the show this morning via text. Says Denny, use pure peppermint oil. You can sprinkle it anywhere on the engine. Talking about keeping mice away. I've heard that works in some cases, and I think it's a cheaper method too. Texter says Nick bought a pair of Rain-X wiper blades for our 2018 Sierra crew cab. Put on the driver's side just fine. Passenger side, not so much. Can one arm be different than the other? Have you seen this on the 2018 GMCs? I'm used to the large hook style, not this type. This is the first time I've needed to change from the original wipers. Any information would be greatly appreciated. It's definitely frustrating. Oh, I can relate to that. It can be in some cars.
We all can. We all can. We wonder ourselves, like, why can't there be a standardized hook or clip or whatever it may be and just have different lengths? But, yeah, no, wiper blades are one of those things where I think at Lloyd's we probably have, I don't know, 30 or 40 different wiper blades, and we still don't have all the coverage. So don't be discouraged with yourself. Read the package. Sometimes, you know, they can be frustrating, but please be careful. Keep in mind, if you have that wiper blade off and that metal rod is exposed and the wiper arm is up and it were to come down and hit the glass, it will likely crack your windshield. So keep that first and foremost. Make sure you're very careful there. You don't want to create a bigger problem for yourself. But, no, I would, if you do it yourselfer, you want wiper blades, the best advice is go back to the manufacturer and get the ones exactly that came off the vehicle. The aftermarket ones most often will work, but sometimes there might be an adapter or clip that make it somewhat confusing and complex. So if you want to do them yourself, stop by your local dealership, get a couple of the original equipment wipers that should fit properly and easily.
I guess you're always better off with the OEM stuff. And some of these blades, wiper blades, can be pretty costly too, can't they?
Oh, absolutely. Those beam blades, which most vehicles are equipped now, are very nice. They last a long time. You don't get, you know, if you remember from years past, you get all that snow and that ice kind of caught in the skeleton of those old frame blades. Yeah. We don't have that anymore. So that makes it much more helpful to keep the windshield clean and icing up, but they are expensive. So there's a trade-off, but I think they're probably worth it. They last longer and they work better.
Very good. Nick, we're going to take a quick break. Again, inviting our listeners to join in. If you have any kind of a car care question, we'd love to hear from you, either by phone or by text, 651-461-9226. Right now in the Twin Cities, this is December 23rd, keep in mind. We have 41 degrees. We're going to be almost at 50 today. We could be at 55 tomorrow, and for Christmas Day itself, we could get up to near 45 with rain. Right now, fog, dense fog in some cases, CCO temp 41. And on this December 23rd morning, 41 degrees in the Twin Cities, a lot of fog out there. We're in the midst of our car care show. Denny Long here, along with ASC certified technician Nick Stauffel, who runs a place called Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul. Nick, for those that maybe need some help, how do we find you guys like I have so often at the Lloyd's Automotive? Where are you?
As you know very well, we're at the corner of Grand and Chanceworth in St. Paul. That's 982 Grand. And if you ever need advice, got a question, feel free to give us a call, 651-1316. And if you don't mind, check out our website at lloydsautomotive.net.
Yeah, 651-228-1316. We'll get you that info when Nick leaves us, just before he leaves us, which is close to 7:45 this morning. You can call us, you can text us with any kind of a car care question you have in mind, 651-461-9226. Texter says this morning, Nick, I recently purchased a four-wheel drive 2020 GMC Sierra 1500 SLT from a local dealer. A few days later, I discovered one tire had a non-repairable leak. To his credit, sales manager agreed the dealership was responsible, replaced two tires, but they were unable to get the same brand. Texter says, I now have two nearly new matching tires that came with the truck in front, two new matching tires of a different brand in back. The dealer claims this should not cause a problem for the drivetrain, since the tread wear on all tires is nearly identical, and the two brands are also nearly identical in their ratings. Is the dealer correct? If so, how should I rotate these tires going forward? Interesting question.
I think it'll be fine. It happens from time to time. We'll have somebody that's maybe not a regular customer, or maybe the availability of that same tire is not there. So we, too, will do our very best to, first off, match the specifications, tread design, try to do the best we can to make it as close as possible. If the tread depths are the same, the height of the tires is the same, it shouldn't have any bearing on your drivetrain. And as far as the rotation goes, I would follow kind of our process or procedure is how are the tires wearing? If they're wearing smoothly, maybe you can go front to rear. If you get any uneven wear, maybe we crisscross them. It really depends how they wear over time. So I think you don't need to worry too much about it. Be aware of it, but I think to go on with a normal life of a tire will be just fine.
All right, good news. Another texter, Merry Christmas, guys. I love the program. Thank you, and Merry Christmas to you. Texter says, I have a 2005 Acura. This vehicle uses 92-octane fuel, but yesterday I went to fill up the tank and had a quarter tank of fuel left and accidentally put in 87-octane fuel by mistake. You think this will hurt my vehicle, and should I add an octane boost additive into my gas tank? What do you think? Shouldn't hurt this one tank, right? What do you think?
No, I agree, and we get these questions often, especially when fuel prices are higher. You'll find if the vehicle operates normally, like it has, you can probably scale back on that octane rating. If you're having issues where there's pinging, which is kind of like a detonation or a difference of acceleration, or it just over a field that's different, you probably need to go back up to that higher octane as you've been using. And like I said, they make the recommendation based on the math that they do there, and there's a reason for it, but sometimes you'll find that maybe a little less will work also. So for this tank, don't worry about it. You'll be fine, and you can go back to your regular routine if you like.
All right, very good. Listener said this, I have a 2013 Chevy Malibu Eco. Lately, it's been stalling when I stop or slow down. What do you think most likely is a problem or problems with that? Well, that's a toughie.
Well, the first thing we would do is connect like a scan tool, you know, see if there's any fault codes that are stored. If there's no fault codes, you'd like to drive the vehicle, watching they're recording that data. Because what happens is you're coming to a stop, and obviously, you know, we're worried about our settings and our surroundings. The vehicle stalls. We don't necessarily see what had happened. With the scan tool, we can record the data from the computer, and we can find out if there's a sensor that was given out or if a reading got skewed for some reason that made the vehicle actually stall, whether it's fuel or air or something with the spark. So usually those situations, we get codes first or look for codes or pending codes. Other than that, we'll take some data and then kind of go through and figure out what looks out of sorts, and then maybe go to that part of the engine or that component and do some testing. So it probably isn't too difficult to figure out. Cost, really have no idea until we know what's wrong.
Listener has a plug. We were talking about blades on vehicles, and this listener says the Rain-X blades are far superior to the OEM blades. All right, well, thank you for that opinion. There's another one now. Is it okay to keep my 2019 Wrangler in four-wheel high when driving in town? How about the interstate?
You know, all-wheel drive vehicles, which, quite honestly, most SUVs are in some capacity in four-wheel drive, not locked in four-wheel drive. You know, my truck is a little bit older, and it still has, you know, two high, four low. I usually only put it into four highs if I need it. You know, if I'm plowing snow or if the conditions are bad where it helps me keep the truck on the road, absolutely. But for days like today or everyday driving, I don't think it's necessary, and it probably uses a little more fuel. So I don't think there's any reason to do it unless you feel that the conditions require it.
There's something I remember asking you about, and Dan too, about checking. If you have one of these vehicles that you do have a selector switch, not a gear handle, but a selector switch for a four-wheel high, four-wheel low, normal, whatever, and I just leave it, you know, in an auto situation, shouldn't I be exercising that once in a while to try different ranges? Isn't that something good to do?
Well, you know, my opinion is, you know, it kind of goes along with door locks that we've covered in the past. To keep everything within the vehicle functioning at some capacity, you know, when it's in auto, that motor that kind of controls the transfer case is actuating to some extent. But if it doesn't have the full sweep or you're not moving it through all the different settings, it's not fully using that unit, just like, you know, like a reference door locks. You know, every so often, if you still have a door lock in that driver's door, you have a blade inside your fob, you should exercise that fob or that door lock just to make sure if there's ever a situation where you can't get into your vehicle, you can still unlock the door with a good old-fashioned key. So my opinion is, especially with our climate and, you know, the salt and the snow and all everything that comes out of the sky, that if we keep all these things operating or we use them, they'll be there when we need them.
Yeah, good idea. I have to do that. All right, Nick, hang on. We're going to have a look at that warm forecast this holiday weekend, and we'll have a look at this coming week as well. We still have time for your car care question. Call us or text us, 651-461-9226. From News Talk 830, this is And a good Saturday morning to you. Welcome back to our Car Care Show. We are here every Saturday in the 7 o'clock hour. Thanks to Nick Stoffel, ASE Certified Technician at Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul, answering those car care questions for you this holiday weekend. And we have a bunch yet, Nick, and I know we have to take your leave here in a few minutes, but let's see how many folks we can help out here. Listener says this, my daughter has a 2007 Buick LaCrosse. Sometimes when using the key fob, it unlocks and locks every door except the driver's door. Is there anything I can do to fix it?
You know, this kind of goes hand in hand with that texture earlier that, you know, it's sometimes a mystery when you're hitting the fob or hitting the switch inside the vehicle where ones will work, others will not. You know, as I mentioned before, could there be something with some wiring? Very possible. In this case, I think it's probably the actual door lock actuator. There's a little solenoid in there that when you hit the button, it pops the lock up. And when you hit the close, it obviously does the same. It locks it and goes down. So you probably need to have somebody with the tooling to get the door panel off, get the meter on that actuator to see what is happening, and then kind of go from there.
Yeah, I would need help, too, for sure. We got some callers coming in, too, this morning, Nick. Robert is first up. You're calling from St. Paul this morning. Robert, what is your question for Nick?
Well, first of all, I'd like to wish you good morning. Happy holidays to you and yours. Thanks for the opportunity. I got an 09 Subaru that's overheating. I've taken it to one of the franchise shops to have it diagnosed. They said it needed a radiator. I actually took it to a Subaru dealer for a second opinion. They couldn't get it to overheat, but suggested I replace the radiator. I took the opportunity to go ahead and replace that myself. It's still overheating. Any ideas, any thoughts?
Well, I'd be curious to know, like, the condition of the coolant. If we're doing a radiator from overheating, most often we like to do a thermostat. You know, that wax pellet has a bit of a life expectancy, and an overheating can be hard on it. So if you're handy enough to do the radiator, I might suggest you do the thermostat. Not saying that's a problem yet. I mentioned the condition of the coolant. I want to make sure we don't have any kind of cylinder head gasket problem, which can happen from time to time on that particular vehicle. So I would maybe pause, do some diligence here. Let's check the condition of the coolant. Let's determine if we're getting any exhaust in the antifreeze, which would mean that the cylinder head gaskets have failed, allowing the exhaust into them or into the coolant, which can create an overheating situation. If we think that that's fine, I think my next step would be looking at the thermostat, checking the temperatures with the thermometer in and out of it, see if it's actually doing its job. If the thermostat is stuck shut and not opening as it should, you could overheat that vehicle. So, you know, the radiator may have been needed for sure, but I think I would slow down a little bit here and try to do a few more steps before I kept putting parts in the vehicle.
All right. Some ideas there, Robert. Good luck with that. Thanks for the call and the wishes, and back at you. Jerry calling in this morning from New Prague, Minnesota, I do believe. Jerry, thank you. What is your question?
I have a 2022 Buick Envision, and I was wiping the inside of it out, and now after I drive it, it seems to idle real fast, and I don't even have to put my foot on the gas, and it goes by itself. I don't know if I hit a button inside that, you know, it has all the levers in there. If I hit a button or whatever.
Well, there should be any kind of button that would affect a throttle like that, but I'd be very careful. Usually, if the car is going to accelerate on its own, you know, you might want to just bring it straight to the shop, have it looked at. We don't want to run a risk of not being able to stop. But I can't give you a good reason. You know, this might seem silly, but here's one small tip, because I've seen this many times over the years. Check the floor mats. Make sure that driver's floor mat didn't slide up and get partially on the throttle. Because if the floor mat is on the throttle, it might be giving it a little bit of
acceleration when you're not asking for it. So that would be the do-it-yourselfer step that you can try. Otherwise, I think you need to take it in to have someone take a look at that as soon as you can.
Okay, very good. Texter says this, Lloyds, thanks for fixing my ABS modulator in my 2014 Honda Accord. It was expensive, but I had to have it fixed and since have written to Honda Corporation. So a thank you to somebody who was money well spent, evidently. You guys did a good job, evidently, as usual. Good morning. This one says, oh, interesting. I purchased a new snowblower that has been stored indoors for 2 years, never used. Do you think the oil that was installed 2 years ago is still good, or is there a time decay factor, even though the machine has yet to be run?
You know, me personally, if it's a brand new unit, the little bit of oil isn't very expensive. I would probably swap out the oil. Yeah. I think the bigger question is how you got through last winter without using it. We had gotten so much snow. Sure. But yeah, I would switch out the oil. I mean, it's a quart of oil. It's not very expensive, and it's a new machine. You just don't want any kind of condensation or moisture. You may want to keep that thing running tip top.
Boy, for sure. And I was just thinking, I hope I'm not jinxing myself, but I change the oil in my snowblower every year, spark plug, maybe more than once with the spark plug. But that cheap maintenance, and now I do use and have been synthetic oil, same viscosity, of course. That snowblower is 26 years old this year. And I hope I'm not jinxing myself, but a little maintenance can go a long way, can it, for cars too, and snowblowers.
Absolutely. You know, I mean, obviously we always talk about our vehicles, but, you know, those things we have at home, snowblower, lawnmower, you know, every year I like to run it out of fuel, both of them at the end of the season. And you're right, you know, a spark plug is a few dollars. It doesn't take, you know, many tools to change a spark plug on a snowblower or a lawnmower, but a little bit of maintenance, you know, 26 years is probably almost unheard of, you know. But if you take care of your equipment, it's going to take care of you. So I think that's true with pretty much everything in the world.
Absolutely. I'm looking, Nick, before we run out of time, we're almost out this morning, but I'm looking at a text that came in last week, and then we'll be completed with that. This is an 08 Saturn View, 110,000 miles in the transmission, and the torque converter is making the car vibrate. Is it worth fixing? Is it expensive? Torque converter, tell us briefly, what is that?
So the torque converter is the part between the transmission and the engine that allows it to slip. If the transmission and engine were fully engaged, the car would try to keep going, right? So we need to have a little bit of slip. It also helps with the smoothness of shifting. So as the engine RPMs ramp up, the torque converter or the input shaft spins, which gets the torque converter going. Once that hits the right RPM, revolutions per minute, it'll engage. Now, as they start to fail, you can get some of that shuddering going on, some poor shifting, and sometimes there might be even like a lockup scenario where the car could stall. Not likely, but could. So that's something you probably shouldn't avoid, especially, you know, you get on the highway when you need that unit to be, you're going on the off-ramp or the on-ramp and you're accelerating, trying to get up to speed. If you're not able to do that, you get yourself in a bit of a pinch. Unfortunately, it is expensive. You got to remove the transmission to do that. So I would definitely make sure whoever is doing the diagnosis is very thorough and very confident what's wrong with the vehicle.
Yeah, for sure, with those kind of bucks. Nick, we have to run. I want to wish you and all your family there, certainly, and the crews and their family at Lloyd's Automotive this holiday season. Now, for those that want to get in touch after the holiday, how do we do that if we need your help?
Absolutely. If you ever have a question, need advice, give us a call, 651-228-1316. And if you're ever on Grand Avenue in St. Paul, pop in and say hi. We're at 982 Grand Avenue. And last and finally, if you wouldn't mind checking out our website at lloydsautomotive.net.
Excellent. All right. Thank you, Nick. Merry Christmas to you and your family. And we'll talk 1 week from today when it's going to be almost a whole nother year. Thanks, Nick.
Merry Christmas, Danny.
Yeah, and to you. Nick Stoffel, ASE Certified Tech at Lloyd's Automotive. Jack Farrell's Wine Chat straight ahead here on News Talk 830 WCCO.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. T&Cs apply.
Lemonade! Fresh squeeze lemonade! Lemonade? Oh, nuts.
Is your business struggling to be seen? Not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, line starts here.